then I will try to get it tackled for this week. So this week is going to be called Seen and Unseen. See, there's a guy on TV that on the news, one of the news channels, and he's got a segment that he does called Seen and Unseen. So I borrowed his title, and then I found an iceberg. And you know what they say, if you're going along in a ship, you can see the first part of that iceberg, but there's a whole bunch, you know, down below that's unseen. The Word of God is like that. There's a lot when we read it that we see and that we have, but there's much of the Word of God that is unseen. And so when you see that, when you dig a little deeper and you see that, I mean, it's refreshing and it's good, and that's what we'll look at today. And then there's some things that we see that that we can even be surprised about from time to time. So today, using this theme of seen and unseen, by the time I'm done, if I'm successful, which is still to be seen, but if I am, then you're going to, everybody in here already, I'm sure, believes the Bible's true. But if there was somebody out here that didn't believe the Bible's true, they're going to believe the Bible is true. I've been teaching for somewhere in within 10% or so of 50 years, let's say. 45 to 50 years in there. Not 50, but I think over 45. And I have never once, I don't think, set out to prove the Bible is true. Well, this will be the first time in all that year. Because I don't want to waste time trying to prove. I don't have to prove the Bible. You know, it's true. God said it. And we walk by faith. That's what we do. And we believe. And salvation is based on believing and based on faith. And so I just really didn't spend a lot of time trying to prove God, because I just feel like, you know, God, man, He's there. I don't have to prove God. He's proof. And so this will be kind of a first for me as well. So you hang with me, okay? We're going to go for something here. Now there's a lot. I'm going to do it with sevens. In Revelation 13, we find out the number of a man is 666, right? That's what it says. So we say six is the number of man. Seven is known among theologians as, and we say it sometimes, as the number of God, because the number of completion. Number of God. And there's a lot of sevens that are seen in the Bible. 7 days in the creation. By the way, people that aren't even believers around the world, that even other religions, do you notice they still have a 7-day week? Still have a 7-day week. And that's because God sort of put the cycle like that. And God did creation. 6 days He worked and 7th day He rested. 7 days in a week, 7-day Sabbath, 7-day-year Jewish cycle. The 7 churches of the book of Revelation in chapter 2 and 3. I mean, Revelation is just full of sevens. The judgments, the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, the vials, all of that. There were 7 thunders. I forgot to even write that down. I could probably think of some more. Everything today that I present, there's much, much more. So I was thinking about that, and I ran across this fella here. And his name is Ivan Panin. Has any of you ever heard of this fellow? Okay, nobody kin to him or anything like that. All right. So he's living in the, at the time he was living like in the, in, he grew up in Russia, came to the U.S., lived here like the very late 1800s. Smart, smart guy. And he was in New York, and there was a paper in New York called the New York Sun. And the New York Sun do you remember Brother John every now? Brother John's a writer. We're going to talk about writing too today. Anybody else a writer? Kind of, you consider yourself a writer? One then, Brother John. I'm going to call you a writer, brother. Well, you got no company today. It's just you. You'll have to carry the load, John. Somebody would come up with something in the paper, the Lubbock Avalanche Journal, that kind of pushed on Christianity a little bit here and there, but John come back and let him have it next week, right? Next week or two, or whenever he can get a letter in there. And we all appreciate that. Several letters I brought back up here and read. So I didn't want anybody to miss it, because John had some good points in here. Well, the same thing happened. This New York Sun was at the time had an argument going between believers and not believers. And so this one guy, non-believer, and you can find this exact one online. You can find it. And you can find Ivan Penin, he wrote some books. There's one huge book that's very deep and detailed. And then he wrote a kind of a Ivan Penin for dummies, you know. And so it's easier to get through. He's such a smart guy. And what I'm going to show you today is all from him, not from me. I did check his work. I got my little calculator out. And I went through it, and I calculated every number. And every time I went through these slides, I found an error on my part, and I cleaned it up. And I thought, how did that happen? And I didn't take it directly from him, but I worked on it and tried to make sure it's correct. And I found, by the way, I think if you get this article and you find one mistake there, that's the one. I found a mistake, I think, in that article and corrected it. In my slides. So I've run through all the numbers, but if you find something else that's wrong today, it's on me. It's not because I didn't try. But they were arguing back and forth, and somebody in the New York Sun, which, by the way, went out of business two or three times, and for a long time they still kept an online presence, and I think maybe once in a while still, not on a regular basis, but still come out with something you probably could find. And somebody said, I would like to see proof in Christianity. And so he came back with several things that proved the Bible. Now, last week in here, if you were here, we covered, because it was Christmas, I did the Christmas story last week, and I used Matthew 1 and Matthew 2. And so we're going to look at Matthew 1 and 2 today, because if you were in the class, you're familiar a little bit with it. But it's if you're not, you're familiar with the verses. And you might turn to Matthew 1, if you wouldn't mind, if you got your Bible there. And the first part here reveals the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And that's how Matthew starts his book. The first elect, and it's kind of divided in two parts, and we mentioned that last week. It's from Abraham to the Babylonian captivity are the first 11 verses, and verse 12 to 17 is about Babylonian captivity to Jesus Christ. And so we're going to look at some seen and unseen things regarding the way the scripture is constructed in this chapter and in a little bit in the next chapter as well. Now, a couple things. One, look at just verse 1. Let's just read it to get into it. The book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then he starts off with the various genealogy all the way down to Jesus. Look at verse 17. So all the generation from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon, that's when Israel was carried away by Nebuchadnezzar, we talked about it last week, are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon into Christ are 14 generations. 14 is a number that is what? Divisible by 7. What we're going to talk about today is sevens. And so it's interesting right there, seen, okay, is 14, a number divisible by 7s. That's what I'm talking about, an embedded. It's a little bit unseen too, right? Because it's embedded, 2 times 7 is 14, right there in verse 17. That's kind of what we're going to get at today. If you don't like math, I'll be done in 30 minutes, okay? We're going to have to do some math a little bit, maybe not too much, but I didn't even put it all in here what I could. I just wanted to do enough so that everybody's mind kind of got a little bit tired. And said, well, okay, I believe it. I give up. God's word is true. Now, one thing here we got to note is Ivan, he knew Greek and Hebrew well. And the New Testament was written in Greek. And so this particular, the rules I'm giving you are from the original writing. They do not work. They don't work per se in English, because sometimes when you take a Greek word, it might take a few English words to describe it, or vice versa. And so it doesn't. Or else I would just show you in our Bible. But this is the original text as it was written, And you can find this. He's got it in one of his books. He's got it all laid out and so forth. And so it is the case. So here we go with a few things here. So in the just the first 11 verses of Matthew 1 here, the first 11 verses, which is the genealogy to Jesus, of Jesus to the Babylonian captivity, in the Greek, there are 49 words. You can find this. You can find a Greek Bible. Just get the Textus Receptus. You can look. Count them yourself. 49 words, which is a multiple of 7. Of these 49 words, 28 of them begin with a vowel. 4 times 7. The remainder of the words, 21, 3 times 7, begin with a consonant. So, isn't that something? The total number of words in that part of the genealogy, we're going to get to the second part later, are 49 words, multiple of 7. The number that begin with the vowel are a multiple of 7, and the number that begin with a consonant are a number of 7. They have 266 letters in those 49 words, a multiple of 7, 7 times 38. So, if we ask John to write us, or if you just go home today and got yourself some rules, and you were going to write this out, here's the way your rules would look. I'm going to write 49 words, and the total words must be divisible by 7. And the number that begin with a vowel must be divisible by 7. And the number that begin with a consonant must be divisible by 7. And the total number of letters from top to bottom when I'm done must be divisible by 7. Now, could we do that? We might could, because that's only 4. Even though that's going to take you longer than you think. But let's keep going. We've got 266 letters, remember. Now, this is the only one, I'm going to just tell you, unless you're kind of a math whiz, this thing about factoring is a little bit complicated. It's not complicated at all, but it's complicated for me to explain it in the time I have, which is like 1 minute. If there's 266 letters, we said, in the 49 words. If we factor something, we're breaking it down into the lowest divisible parts with no remainder, if that's really what it is. So, let me just run through one. If we factor the number 266, what we could get is 7 times 2 times 19, because all of these numbers here are down to their lowest form where we only have one way to make a multiplication with no remainder. On 7, we can do 1 times 7, but we can't do 2 times anything and get a whole number. See what I mean? So that's how you factor something, is you get it. Like 10, if 10 was up there, it wouldn't work, because 1 times 10 and 2 times 5, see? So you have to break it down. So if you break this 266 down to factor it, it's 7 times 2 times 19. I know that was deep. That's the deepest we're going to go. But if you sum those factors, 7, 2, and 19, you have 28, or a multiple of 7. Isn't that something? No, if you sum, then you sum the figures. I said there's 266 letters, so let's add up 2 plus 6 plus 6. You have 14, or a multiple of 7. 7 times 2. Of the 266 letters, 140 of them are vowels. 20 times 7. Of the 266 letters, 126 are consonants. 18 times 7, multiple of 7. So all this unseen. The Holy Spirit just put that out. This is in the original language. Made it like this, didn't he? So we already have these 4 rules. I won't hit them again here. At the end, if I got time, I'll sum them up. But that we already talked about all of those rules. Let's add some more rules. So if we're asking John to write us up something, that we got 5 more rules that we got to add. The sum of the factors of the total must add to a number divisible by 7. The sum of the figures of the letters, the 2 plus 6 plus 6, so must be divisible by 7. Total number of vowels divisible by 7. Total number of consonants divisible by 7. Go home and take some of these rules and try to write something and see about that. Extremely difficult. Very time consuming. All right. Well, are we done? We are not done. No, I'm going to keep going a little bit. Let's go a couple more rounds, okay? A couple more rounds, just two. Then I'm going to show you some more. It just gets more fascinating as you go, but let's keep going. We're still now in this first 11 verses. Of those 49 words, 35 of them, 5 times 7, a multiple of 7, occur more than once in the passage. I mean, how do you come up with this stuff? More than once. Of the 49 words, 14 of them, which is 2 times 7, occur one single time in the passage. So the number of words that occur more than once in the passage have to be a multiple of 7, and the number of words that only occur once have to be a multiple of 7. That's going to get hard right in there, isn't it? Yeah. 7 of the 49 words occur in more than one form. So 1 times 7. What does a form mean? I put in one example like happy. I was hoping I had several words I could have chosen, and I chose happy because, you know, we ought to be happy, right? So happy, happiness. So happy is the adjective, happily is the adverb, and happiness is the noun. There's different forms of the word happy, okay? So 7 of the 49 words occur in more than one form. Not happiness, but some of the words do. 42, or 6 times 7, a multiple of 7, occur in only one form. So let's look at those rules. I mean, we got a lot of rules here, don't we? Oh, God did this. He did, this is something, isn't it? Do you realize how your Bible is written? The total number of words that now this is some more rules. This is rules 9 through 12. The number of words that occur more than once must be divisible by 7. The number of words that occur only once must be divisible by 7. The number of words that occur in more than one form, happy, happiness, so forth, must be divisible by 7. The number of words that occur in only one form must be divisible by 7. Now that's something. And if we were done, we'd still say, but we're not done. I'm going to go one more. Of the 49 words in these 11 verses, 42 of them are nouns, 6 times 7, and 7 are not nouns, 1 times 7, divisible by 7. Of the nouns, 35, 5 times 7, multiple of 7, are proper names. So I use my wife here, Donna, proper name, or Bethany. So it'd be a proper name of a person. So some are, of the nouns, 7 or 1 times 7, a multiple of 7, are common names. So wife is a common name. Donna is a proper name. The number of proper names, they're a multiple of 7, the number of common names. So Bethany is a proper name. Church would be a common name. You couldn't figure this out, could you? If you had, so these are all the rules we got. First 4, total words divisible by 7. My time's getting away, so I'm not going to repeat them all, but you get the idea. That's the first 4 rules. The next four, by the way, if you want to copy this, there'll be some that might. This or any of the lessons I do, just ask me and I'll be happy to get. Let's just go over the last 4 rules. The number of nouns must be divisible by 7. The number of words, let me make sure I'm on the same, so I get it right. Yeah. The number of words that are not nouns must be divisible by 7. The number of nouns that are proper names must be divisible by 7. And the number of nouns that are common names must be divisible by 7. Now, a couple of statements here. There is all but no chance that this could be done randomly. The scoffer might say, well, that just so happened to fall out like that. Technically, there is one chance because it happened. It could happen. So technically, it could, But it would be one chance in many, many millions for all that to happen randomly. One chance in many millions. In addition, to do this deliberately would take a lifetime if it could be done at all. Considering this, the names that are in there. So Matthew didn't get to choose the names, did he? Other people named these people. So he's stuck, you see, with those words. When somebody puts a name in there, Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob. Matthew's stuck with those words, whether they begin with a vowel or whether they don't. You know, he's stuck with it, you see. So he couldn't manipulate, you get my point? He couldn't manipulate that because he's got, see, if I'm writing this and I get to choose all my 49 words, I could do a few of these things. Not all of them, I couldn't, but, you know, you could do a few. But if you made me use a bunch of names where I had no freedom to operate, then I'm in trouble. Matthew, that's the thing. He, Salmon begat Boaz of Rachab, you know, and so forth. I mean, all these names, that's very, very, that's what makes it really, it's impossible anyway, but it makes it even more impossible using that name. Let's keep going. This obviously proves that the Holy Spirit guided the word. And I put the verse in here, the last part of the verse, 2 Peter 1:21. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I mean, that's how it happened. The Holy Ghost wrote the Bible. There's another, I thought of this verse this morning when I was, I always review everything early in the morning, and I didn't put it in here, but Proverbs 25:2, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. So it's a glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings, we're doing the king's honor today, aren't we, to search out the matter. It's what God said in Proverbs. Now, there's more to this. Of the proper names, I'll just give you a couple more things. Of the proper names in the text, 28 of them, 4 times 7, a multiple 7, are male ancestors of Jesus. And 7 are not. So even the names are broken out by sevens, aren't they? How many? There's a lot more. I'm just going to move on. Now, let me go to something different. Same but different. I went to the internet and I did an image of how the Greek language, if you preach or study the Bible very much, you end up using a little bit. You don't have to. The reason we've got it in English is because God said, by the way, we don't have to know that there's sevens embedded. That's God gave us what we need to know right here. So don't get me wrong. That's the reason I don't do a lot of it, but sometimes in teaching it helps a little bit because, you know, our language has changed a little. Since we talked about this last night. Jeremy and I were from the, you know, there was no such word as Google back in 1611, you know. And today, Google it, you know, is a... But there's a numeric value to every Greek word. There's same for Hebrew. There's the same. And so I didn't put them all up there. I just did a screenshot just to prove that. They assigned, so that the value of alpha, they assigned a value of 1, beta, 2, and so forth. We're not going to go through it, but but to do it different, they did it different than you and I would do it. If we do the alphabet, A is 1, B is 2, we go to 26Z. But they did not. They got down here somewhere, I think it's on 11, and they started doing tens, and then they got up here to this Greek letter, and they gave it 50, and this one they gave it 60. They got on down here. When they got to 100, they gave this letter 200, 300, 400, 500. That's the way the Greeks did it. And so when you see a big old number, they can break that number down by their letters. So that's the way that's a little bit of the numbering system with their language. You say, why do we care about that? Because this Ivan guy looked at that. And it so happens, just so happens, right? It doesn't just so happen. Now, instead of looking at verse 1 through 12, I'm going to go from verse 1 to 17. We read 17 a while ago about the 14 generations and so forth. If we write the numeric value, so we do this, This right here. You know, if the Greek letter was alpha, we give it a 1. If it was gamma, we gave it a 3. And we add up all those. So let's say we add up all the numeric value of the first 17, of every word in the first 17 verses in the first chapter of Matthew, we get 42,364. Guess what? You divide that by 7. It's a multiple of 7, 6,052. Isn't that something? Total number of words valued according to the Greek numbering system is also a multiple of 7. Now, I'm not going to do the whole second chapter, but I am going to summarize it for it, because chapter 2, you know, is Jesus, the wise men came, and Jesus' early years and so forth. Chapter 2 is also important with regard to the verse. I'm not there yet. I'm on the second part here, 18 to 25, which shows the birth of Christ. Oh, yeah, this is interesting. So if you look at your Bible on verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, and so we read those verses last week all the way through verse 25. That's the Christmas story in Matthew. There's a total there in the Greek of 161 words, Christmas story, in itself, which is a multiple of 7. It's 23 times 7. The numeric value of the vocabulary, what is that? That's when the Greeks assign numbers to their letters. The numeric value of that Christmas story is 52,605, a multiple of 7. There's 105 forms of the words. What do we mean by form? Happy, happiness, so forth, right? That's the different form. There's 105 forms of words, a multiple of 7. The Greek numeric value of the forms is 65,429, a multiple of 7. The total vocabulary, because some words are used twice, so if you just kick out the ones used twice, the total vocabulary used is 77 words, a multiple of 7. All this is the Christmas story right there in Matthew. Look at this one. When the angel speaks to Joseph of the 77 words, the angel uses 28 words, a multiple of 7. He uses 105 forms. Of the 105 forms, he uses 35 in the angel's speech there, a multiple of 7. And so you've got this whole Christmas story here, and embedded in it, which is a multiple of 7s, and embedded in there is the angel speaking to the Joseph, and it's also its own multiple of 7s. In Ezekiel 1, I don't have time to go there, but there is a verse called where Ezekiel is really, you know, there's several astonishing things that Ezekiel sees and at first when he's kind of seeing the glory of God. And one thing he says in this verse is, as he's describing part of it, is he calls it a wheel inside of a wheel. And this right here is a wheel inside of a wheel. You got all this Christmas story, don't you? And it's all multiple sevens, and then you take just the angel's part, also a multiple seven, a wheel inside a wheel. So, very, very interesting. Now, let me just keep going. Now, we're on Matthew chapter 2, so I got ahead of myself a while ago. Matthew 2. I'm not going to go through it again in great detail, but it gives the early, it gives the wise men's visit and the early years of Jesus. So, let me just point a few things out here. Total vocabulary, 161 words, multiple of 7. Total letters, chapter 2, entire chapter 2, 896, multiple of 7. Total forms, 238, multiple of 7. Numeric value of the vocabulary, 123,529, multiple of 7. Total numeric of the forms, 166,985, multiple of 7. Look at this. The words of Herod in chapter 2, and the Magi, and the angel, all perfect sevens. Isn't that something? The entire, I'm not going to go through chapter 3 through chapter 28. It's all perfect sevens. Oh, the whole book is perfect sevens. Now, I'm gonna give you something here. I've said from this pulpit before, and tried to say it on occasion. Not everybody believes me on that. Not you disbelieve me. Not everybody goes for this or necessarily believes. I hear people. Let me say it differently. I hear people all the time saying, "Well, those chapter divisions, they were put in here later, and then they're really not spiritually discerned." And I do not believe that. I believe, yeah, it's true they were not original, but I believe God, the God that made the original, kept working as the final product was formed. And in fact, it proves that that's the case, because this wouldn't have worked if these chapter divisions wouldn't have been where they are. You see? And so it just proves this thing's inspired. God had his hand on it. Even the chapter divisions, which I believed all along. I don't know if you have or not. Not everybody does, but that's my opinion on it. So, okay, couple more things. There are 42 words that are not found anywhere else in the New Testament in the genealogy. If we just take the genealogy of the book of Matthew, 42 words, by the way, multiple of seven. Not words that are not found anywhere else in the whole New Testament. Of those, there's 126 letters, multiple of seven. By the way, I don't have time to report this, but that's also a wheel inside the wheel, because they both, in this part of it, these are words not found elsewhere. They're also multiple of six sevens, both of them. But I won't get that. Let's. How could Matthew know and use, say Matthew just had a little idea, I'm going to put some words in here nobody else is going to use, and I'm going to make it a multiple sevens. I'm going to contrive this myself. I mean, why would he do that? I don't know, but. Well, he'd have to write it last, right? He would have to written it last and checked everybody's and got him some words nobody else used, right? Or he'd have to talk to everybody that had to get together. The problem with that kind of thinking is this. Mark shows the same thing. Mark shows the same thing. Here's the last 12. I got to hurry here. I always have to hurry this time of the deal. Sorry, but total words, vocabulary, number of letters, number of forms. This is just the last 12 verses of Mark, all with the sevens, all of it. Isn't that something? So now we think, Mark and Matthew got together. Because Mark's only got one word that doesn't occur in the rest of the New Testament, but that one word has multiple sevens. The numeric value is 581, multiple seven. Sum of the figures is 14. So who wrote last, Matthew or Mark? Well, I mean, they must have just gotten together, right? You could say that. The scoffer of the Bible could say that, but the problem is we find the same thing in Mark, with John, Luke, James, Peter, Jude, and Paul. I see that I left Luke out. See, I found a mistake myself. The name Luke should be up here too. All 27 books have unique words not found elsewhere in the New Testament. Every one of those new unique words in every book are multiples of seven. Isn't that something? I tell you. Then the scoffer could say, well, look, that's all in the Greek. And the Greek language probably has something to do with the mathematics of the language that everything just probably natural. That's not God. That's just naturally fall. That's probably what they might think. Naturally falls out like that. Okay, fine. I knew we'd be out of time. I chose one verse. I chose the first verse in the Old Testament because it's Hebrew, not Greek. Do you know what? Works in Hebrew 2. Works in Genesis 1:1, 2. This is Genesis 1:1. In Hebrew, it is seven words, multiple of seven, 28 letters, multiple seven. I could have gone on in this one. This is my next to the last slide, I think. I knew I'd be out of time. But I'm just pointing out, if God can do it in Greek, he can do it in Hebrew. I mean, come on, right? Multiple seven. Now, why do we even show this? Well, because Christmas, New Year's, and you always go off the reservation on between my, that's why. No. You know what you can do here with this? You know, you can do this. Yes, we walk by faith, but it might help if you are just ever questioning, look, I mean, Lord, where are you? I mean, I need, you know, and the Lord says something, you can take it to the bank, can't you? No, you can take it. If Jesus says he loves you, he loves you. Amen. Oh, he put it in here. This book is true. Amen. And he seamed it up and all was sevens all over it, the number of God. And that's probably not, well, we know, we can be assured that's not all he did. That's just all some stuff. That's just part of what's been found. Not even what I found in doing the research. A lot more I could say. But the Bible is true, and we can take comfort in that. And so that's why you should read it every day and try to understand. It is true. This is a slide that I used once before when I was kind of going through the Bible itself in an introduction, just to remember. 39 books, 27 in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament, 28 authors in the Old Testament, 9 authors in the New Testament. Did they really talk to each other? No, because over here we had about maybe 3,600 years that it took them to write. Matthew may have written. The other thing is just the time it would have taken Matthew. He may, while he was ministering with Jesus, he may have and probably did take some notes along, and he gathered some other maybe stuff somebody else wrote on the, to get the genealogy. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit didn't guide him. Of course the Holy Spirit did, but I'm just saying Matthew did some compiling along. The thing didn't probably come out until some years after Christ's death, but let me just put it this way. By the end of the first century, it was out. Well, a little bit before that, in fact, it was out. And the kind of stipulation we just put on the book of Matthew, he could not have done in his lifetime. Because he didn't start at age 7 or anything with Jesus. He was older before the Lord called him into the ministry. Not old, but he had lost his teenage years by then and so forth and so on. And so... He had a number of years. I pulled down the average lifespan. I decided it wasn't all that relevant, but because all of the Bible is written like this. All the Bible is written like this. It's an amazing book written over hundreds of years by different guys, and yet it is seamless from beginning to end. It is absolutely consistent in every way, and perfect. Only God could do this. That's the seen and unseen. Actually, I how many slides I got today? 28, multiple of 7. How about that? I had 27, and I thought, man, that's not going to work. I got to have another. So I put this one in again, so I'd have 28, multiple of 7. How about that? And we all survived it, didn't we? We survived it. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful.